The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Conor McGregor! You gotta come back and fight somebody! I'll see you at the top!
Surprise, surprise, mother! The king is back!
Get pumped! Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone, to episode 10 of Tough Hang, covering The Ultimate Fighter 31. We just saw the 10th episode of that show. We got a banger of a fight. And here to recap it with me, not GC Connor Burks. GC Connor Burks will be on site in Dallas, Texas for the momentous Jake Paul, Nate Diaz fight. But covering for Connor is his No Bets Barred podcast partner, the wonderful Jed Meshew.
I am very upset that you made me do this.
He has been diligently following... producer Casey, mute that mic. He has been diligently following... Ultimate Fighter all season. Every week he's messaging me, when can I come on as a guest? I'm like, please wait. We will find time for you. I was on vacation, Jed. I'm sorry we couldn't fit you in. We had some great guests. We got New York Rick in here. We got my best friend, Mike Heck. Finally, it is your time to shine. And you actually got a good episode. So I don't think you should be complaining too much.
Well, I have two statements on that. First, if that's a good episode, okay.
We'll start talking about the fight right away. Jed, what is your Ultimate Fighter experience? What is the last time you watched? What's the first time you watched? Where are you? What's your relationship with Ultimate Fighter right now?
Oh, I watched the first season. Was the first time I watched Tough. Because I was like a sort of MMA fan by that point. And so then it's like, hey, there's going to be MMA. There's a UFC show on Spike TV. Tune in and watch. I didn't really follow it super, super hard until season two. And then stuck with it. Very good season. Stuck with it through the first 10. I diligently watched every one of them. 10 was Kimbo, right? I think 10 was the Kimbo season.
10 was the heavyweight season, yeah.
That was sort of... And I tailed off. I was like, they're just doing a lot of these. The fight quality has gone down, et cetera, et cetera. And then I will have popped back in periodically for the super significant ones. I didn't watch the whole show, but I would watch the fights for the flyweight tournament one. You know, the guy who gets to fight DJ, because that was like legitimately relevant to the sport. All of those fights.
The names are on. Pantoja was on there. Moreno. Some incredible names were on that.
It was all the Tournament of Champions, whatever they called it. And then when they did the debut for strawweight whatever it was, like, was that 20 or 25? I feel like it was one of the middle numbers. Though,
with Rose Namajunas and, yeah.
Yeah. Carla, even though I knew going into that season that the actual best women's draw in the world was going to be determined when Joanna fought Claudia, like a week before or whatever the tough finale, I still watched all of that because that was pretty relevant and have not watched an episode since that one. So I will say I was thinking while watching this, hey, at least you guys gave me this one where we crowned the Bantamweight champion. Because the winner of Team Revali of Brad Katona was pretty obviously, in my estimation,
gonna
win this thing. So
you don't know.
I got the finals.
Can you name either of the other two bantamweights that they could potentially be facing?
Not off the top of my head. No, like, is Cody? No, Cody Durden's fighting this week.
No, not Cody Durden. Cody.
What other Codys are there?
Gibson. Cody Gibson.
Gibson. Yeah, Brad Katona. Cody Gibson. Cody Gibson. Or and possibly the other. Is the other Rico, dude a rookie?
He is a 36-year-old prospect. Yes.
He's the oldest guy.
Rico DeShumo.
Brad Katona is actually good at fighting. So is Team Revaliev. They're going to win.
Yeah. As we saw from this fight, this was a legitimate UFC level, whatever that means
fight.
These days. But this was a high level fight, super fun fight. The episode was titled, as you can see on our little graphic there, Just Win, Baby. I thought obviously they could have called it Bad Blood or something like that because we had a ton of it. I don't know what opened up Brad Katona in the first round, but a minute in,
actual blood.
Yeah, he's like gushing blood from the side of it. No, we'll talk about the drama or lack thereof in the show after. It was all respect. This fight should have been on these guys should be making UFC money fighting on a UFC card. It is... Just to start off on a negative note, I'm sorry. It is ridiculous that they are fighting for whatever it is they're fighting for. I don't know how much they get paid or how they're compensated on The Ultimate Fighter. I guarantee it's not like win and show money because these are exhibitions. They sign up for the show. There has to be some sort of compensation, but they should be getting paid way more for the kind of war that they put on. They should both be getting a $50,000 fight of the night bonus. I hope the UFC did right by these guys because this was a great, great bloody battle. Jed, if I get some of your thoughts on this three round war,
it was a good fight. I wasn't watching it close enough to score it. Sort of just holistically, I felt that Katona won. Obviously, there was a little bit of controversy afterwards. Valiev and company believe he won. But look, like this is the best tough can ever be. Like these are two actual quality guys competing against each other in a fight that is relevant. Like it does mean something for them and that there are stakes here. So this is probably the peak of what tough can be. And I'll admit that like I enjoyed watching the fight. The rest of the episode, we can get into all that if you would like. But the fight was fun. It was also weird. Because I'm not going to say lapsed fan, as a lapsed viewer of this program, have all the fights this year just been 15 minutes?
No.
There were just two of them.
The first round, there was a lot of, it was pretty much, so Team Chandler has dominated this competition. So Team Chandler went 7-1 in the sort of opening round, a lot of finishes. I think only a couple of the opening round fights went to a decision. I could be remembering wrong, but there's a lot of finishes.
Are they all scheduled for three rounds? They're amateur fights because of the way that the semifinals in Vegas work.
No, the semifinals are three rounds, but the opening rounds are two rounders.
I sort of assumed that it was like, oh, I guess we've just gone to this. Then why are these amateur fights? And then I was really baffled by Dana White being like, oh, we're not getting another round. Like
that made no sense. No. I'm like, how?
Why? We had three. Like I genuinely rewound it and went back and was like, did I just imagine three rounds? Like, why would we get another? There's not a 10-8 and this is how this works. What else going on?
He thought one of them was a 10-10 or so. I don't, it made no sense. It made a lot of the commentary around the fights doesn't make a lot of sense. Sometimes you feel like, especially from Conor McGregor and from Dana White, you have a feeling they may not understand the rules exactly.
The fundamental rules of MMA? Because that's not like some sort of trick. It's, hey, you have 3-round fights literally every weekend.
Yeah.
Like it's, 10 of them every weekend. And when they go to decision, you're not like, I wonder if we're going to get another one here. It's like, okay.
It's a little strange. So yes,
it was a competitive fight, but like there was no world that was a draw. So
no.
I was very confused for that portion of it.
I don't even know why they would show that. Like that's the thing. If I'm the team, I'm like, I'm just going to cut that line out because that line makes no sense. Yeah. That fight is the platonic ideal of what Dana White and the UFC sell the Ultimate Fighter as. They want you to believe every fight on the Ultimate Fighter is like that. Two guys trying to scrape and claw their way to the UFC or back to the UFC in the case of these guys and putting it all on the line. Every fight is going to be Bonner Griffin one. And if you just watched this fight, you probably thought, wow, this must be an amazing season. And honestly, the fights haven't been that bad except for last week.
I did just watch this fight and I definitely didn't think that.
Well, it's not for you, Jed. You are a hardened, educated MMA fan. I'm saying they're hoping to capture fans who either have not watched Ultimate Fighter in a while, which I guess would include you, or people who have never seen the Ultimate Fighter before. They're browsing through ESPN to hear about this show. I think the less you know about the show, the better. GC, like the first 2 or 3 episodes, he was brimming with enthusiasm. He was really having a great time. And then he had never watched The Ultimate Fighter before, ever. And then after 3 episodes, he's already like, I think I've seen everything. I'm getting a little worn out here. 3 episodes, that's all it took. But
I will say this. I took notes while I was watching it because I wanted to be a professional, even though I got shanghaied into this.
Please.
The very first thing I have in my notes and the thing I wrote down is they have like very solid production values. That intro was better than their intros used to be. Like there are clearly professionals working on this show and doing what they can to make it the best program they can. Whether the efficacy there is up for debate, but I was pleasantly surprised that like there is clearly time and diligence put into the product, even if the product is still not for me.
Yeah, we compliment the production team every week. It's the creative direction that has really gone nowhere for about I don't know how many seasons now, maybe 10 straight, 12 straight seasons. I imagine people are doing their best. They do seem to have fallen to I have watched every season, as people know, and if you stopped watching it, tough 22. Like I said, the last season you watched was probably not all that different from this one. If you saw just the strawweight season, that's like you said, it was only 25-24 or something like that.
They let them talk to their families, which was different because that was like, which is honestly like a good development. There's really no reason to do. You got to be. that was the whole pitch early on. It's like, we're going to stick you where you have nothing to do but focus on fighting and getting better over these 5 weeks or whatever. And that's just real dumb. And so like letting them, you know, Skype their moms or whatever was good. A human development.
Only if you make the semifinals, the rest of you suffer.
If you lost,
you don't get to go home. You just sit around and hang out with McGregor and Chandler, whoever the next 7 weeks. You're still training.
You still have to have bodies to train.
Yes, these bodies have no chance of winning the show anymore, unless God forbid someone gets injured. But yes, if you lost week one, boy, it's a long show. Let me tell you, it is a long.
I'm fine with that. That's just sort of part and parcel of how something like this is going to work. So that's
okay. I mean, you mean if it were you, you'd be like, oh, I'm okay. You'd be like, ah, whatever.
You just have to know. Like you have to, that's part of the calculus going in. Well, one, you can leave. They cannot force you to stay. That's called
kidnapping. They can legally force you
to
stay.
And it's illegal.
You have to
suffer the repercussions of that.
No, it is illegal to leave. I've seen Las Vegas laws that say, you cannot leave the Ultimate Fighter house unless given permission by a UFC official. You will be arrested.
That's not entirely impossible given the sway that the UFC has over that particular town. But yeah, like it was exactly what I would have thought it was like going in. And it was fine. Like it was, I will admit it was a hugely helpful that we get to view this as a screener and I'm not having to also watch 20 minutes of commercials to go along with it.
What do you mean? We just watched live with everybody else. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What's okay? What do you mean?
If I had to watch that show if I had to watch the entire buildup towards the fight with commercials into it, I would immediately turn it off. And that's not to say that like I get what they're doing, but here's the revelation I had watching it. This would be kind of cool if we were getting this sort of in-depth background and storytelling before a fight that I cared about. Like if we got this sort of in-depth video package with like behind the scenes before Gaethje Poirier, kind of cool. Not even saying that it would be great, but that's like two fighters that I am like very involved in emotionally and want to see other aspects of their life. For this, I do not mean this in any disrespectful tone towards Brad Katona and Timur Valiyev. I don't care enough about you. And so this is just a long preamble to a fight where I'd rather just have the fight. And so if I had that same preamble interspersed with commercials, it would be very, very tough for me to want to hang around for this. And I don't know if that's just intrinsic to this episode because there really wasn't any story to tell. It was, hey, Brad went back to Connor, which makes sense. Good move. And then they prepared and then they fight and everybody was very happy with each other. I don't know if every other fight has been sort of similar or if there's been some other dynamics that have made compelling television, but that wasn't it.
First off, good plug for the show. Tough hang. Thank you, Jed. Well done. Excellent product synergy as always. But I want to talk about the rest of the episode, but quickly let's throw to producer Casey, EK's line. I don't think I gave you a proper introduction at the beginning. Let me get your thoughts on the fight before we get to the rest of this episode. What little there was actually content wise outside of the fight itself.
My thoughts on the fight.
Just last thoughts on the fight before we move on.
As far as the fight, it was easily the best quality fight of the season for sure. But like Jed said, these are the two, even with the lightweights, probably the two best quality fighters in the whole house. And it's too bad. It's too bad this wasn't the finale, actually. This should have been the finale, mm-hmm. and it wasn't. But as far as, just pure quality of a fight, this is the best fight of the season. But also one of the most boring episodes of the season, too. So...
Yeah, it was the fight was much needed after last week. Jed, Casey, I wish we could have had Jed last week.
What happened last week?
It was one of the worst fights in Ultimate Fighter history. It was just two guys from Team Chandler who
aren't they all from Team Chandler, basically?
No, well, seven out of eight. So two guys from Team Chandler. Yeah, and by the way, so we should say this week's episode, Brad Katona, like you said, went back to McGregor. Mm-hmm. Of course, he trains with McGregor and John Kavanaugh in SPG Ireland outside of the show. So it was no surprise that he would go over. So technically, this is a win for Team.
And they laid the groundwork early in earlier episodes too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going over and stuff. So
don't say it. Don't just make Jed feel left out. Jed's going to feel sad that he didn't see these episodes.
Why was it a parameter that? That one fighter take the rookies and one fighter take the veterans.
No, so just sort of they did this terrible. They did a horrible thing at the beginning of the show where instead of normally they would draft people one by one. This time they just to create this weird veterans versus prospect gimmick. They grouped all the eight fighters who had not fought in the UFC as prospects. So regardless of how much experience they had or their age, they're prospects just from not being in the UFC.
I hate this so much.
And then eight fighters who had previously been in the UFC were the veterans. And then they grouped them all together. So four bantamweight veterans, four lightweight veterans, four lightweight prospects, four bantamweight prospects. And if you picked, and you had to pick by group. So Connor was like, give me the prospects. And they were like, okay. Unsurprisingly, the prospects got washed by some of these very, very good UFC veterans.
And about the prospects, there's really only one prospect, honestly. And that was the guy
Lee Murray. Lee Murray.
Lee Murray, is that his name? The lightweight? Okay.
Yeah. Lee Hammond, excuse me. Lee Murray.
Lee Murray is very different.
The bank robber?
He would have been a great add to the veteran team. I'll say that.
I would say Lee Hammond's the only, I guess, honest prospect. I think he's
traditional.
He's under 25. Prospect. Everyone else were just literally guys who just haven't fought in the UFC.
And half the time, prospects were older than the veterans. It was very strange. But yes, last week's fight was terrible. It was Roosevelt Roberts, Austin Hubbard. They didn't want to hurt each other, really, both because they know each other and also they got to know each other on the show.
Grow up, Peter Pan. Grow up. Understand this. I just
terrible to watch.
How much fun I would have beating the shit out of some of my friends.
I know.
It's fine. If we fought, it's a fist fight.
If we fought and you took it easy on me, if we fought and you didn't like beat the crap out of me, I'd be very upset with you after.
See,
I'd be like, Jed, what the hell?
I mean, I don't want to go back too much about last week's episode, but I didn't really take it that way. I just thought it was like, it was two guys that they've actually gotten close over time in living in the house together and training all the time together, that not only were they close, but they knew each other very well as far as how they fight. So it wound up just being a hard sparring match, or at least it felt that way. And unfortunately, it was 15. Oh, no, this is, take in mind too, it was 15 minutes.
With commercials. And
15 minutes, but there was no coaching either. No coaching. It was literal. So like no music, no coaching. And I had to just think, this had to just weird the fighters out. Like there's literally no noise. You could hear this is what you heard the whole time.
Yeah, Jed. So you didn't see that, because they're both Chandler guys and neither of them want to go over to McGregor. Chandler's team essentially agreed, well, we're not going to corner either guy other than to, you know, give them
water.
That's
dumb as hell, too.
It was horrible. It was horrible. Let's not dwell on last week's fight.
Yeah.
We went an hour last week talking about that.
It was the worst episode.
Yeah, I want to go with the Roush Momfio defense of they know
it really was.
Well,
it really was. I want to bring up the calls home.
Hopper's one.
Let me last thing I'll say on this, because I have watched zero of this. I absolutely guarantee you, knowing nothing that has happened, that if you put Jason Knight against his best friend, he's beating the hell out of that dude.
I mean, we'll see.
Nothing wrong with fist fighting your best friend.
Next week, I think he gets along with Kurt Hollebaugh. He's probably beating the hell out of Kurt Hollebaugh.
It was more the training together so long.
That too. It was just terrible.
It's not just Jason Knight beating up a dude. It's like they were the main training partners. And I think that added a big added a stalemate to the fight.
It was weird. And the no coaching, like everything.
And no coaching. Weird. Yeah, there's no one to motivate them. There's no one to go, F him up, or whatever.
Connor was kind of
charming. Like, all right, go Michael ahead, Chandler, I won't coach either of you, but I have assistants. You get this one and you get that one.
No, but they didn't want to. Jed, you know all about family. You don't coach against family. All right, come on. You're with me on this one.
This is very
moving on from last week's crappy episode.
Coach against family. Brad Katona, congrats to him getting the split decision win. Moving on.
So we're clear. Really, Dom like fought his entire family in movie 8. So
he had to. All right, he had to. There's extenuating circumstances. There's another. Let's not get into those weeds. Congrats to Brad Katona, not only winning, but I think being the star of this episode. You mentioned the calls. How lovely was his call home to his girlfriend? Did you guys get a little emotional when he was? Can I read some of Brad's words here?
Oh yeah, his poems. Yeah, that was.
He tells his girlfriend, Invicta FC fighter Katie Saul, by the way.
Did they say that she was an Invicta FC fighter? I didn't know that.
I feel like
I did not notice in a previous episode. Did.
Okay.
But yeah, she is a fighter in her own right. Anyway, so he writes to her in his journal every night, and then he finally got to read to her. I may get emotional, guys. So just Casey, edit this out if I start crying. He said, "Katie, how I love writing you every evening. How great it will be to see you again. The thought of you every night allows me to go to bed in peace. I cannot overstate how much I love you and that I am here for us. How I long for the calm of being done with this crazy sport, but also I love the excitement and thrill of doing what I truly love. I'm looking forward to having coffee with you every morning, being cozy with each other, and experience more of life's ups and downs. How I love you to the moon and back. Love, Brad." Sorry, guys.
Brad, I don't know you, and that was very nice. And I don't want to tell anyone how to live their life. If you have those feelings, you should just wife her. If that's because I have never once written something like that about somebody. So if you got those strong feelings, you put a ring on it, man. Let's close the show down.
Two things. The coffee thing is a callback to Tough 27. As you guys, I'm sure, know, when we first met Brad, he mentioned that they had footage of him and Katie drinking coffee in the morning and like living a simple. You guys remember. I don't know why I'm bringing it up. Why did they not put that footage in there?
Because
they assumed you saw Tough 27. They're not going to show you again. We all saw Tough 27.
How many years ago was Tough 27?
5 years ago, I want to say.
Brad, you really got to put a ring on this, man. Like 5 years?
They've been doing coffee in the morning for 5 years, and he, oh,
geez. It is at least four Tufts ago.
And
like, come on, buddy.
Brad,
don't be that guy. Don't be that guy.
Jed, I was going to say, so last week we had a discussion, who would we call? And I said I would not call my girlfriend. I said I would not call my girlfriend, specifically because, first of all, if I tried any of this mushy shit with her, she'd be laughing in my face on television, which would be very embarrassing. She'd just be busting my balls the whole time and probably like saying some insults towards me that like they couldn't even air on TV. So it would not be a wholesome moment. It would not be the wholesome moment that we had with Brad and Katie. I'm like Timur. I'd call my mama. So the Timur call resonated more with me. I would call my mom. Jed, who would you call if you were stuck in the Ultimate Fighter house?
I thought you'd call Mike Heck, your best friend.
Yeah. So that's the other option. Yeah.
I think you should definitely do. That's the thing is, I would want to call the funniest person because I watch my fair share of reality television. Big Survivor guy. I've written a couple of things on the website about that very program. And the episode every season that always kills me is they do the family episode when you're deep in. It's like, oh, I've been here for, again, Survivor lasts like 28 days. a month. It's like, you've been here 3 weeks, and if you've made it this long, now we're going to bring one of your beloved family members. And I was always like, Mom, I want to be real clear. I will not be crying if I ever go on Survivor because it's 3 weeks and I'm an adult. that's just not like that long to have this sort of thing. And I thought Valiev did like it right. Like he wasn't like really emotional. It's like, yeah, Mom, like this guy won before. Like, I'm here. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to win. Like, I would probably call my sister because, like, just, hey, check in. Like, hey, everybody good in the family or whatever? Like, nothing happened that I need to know about. But it would be much funnier to call, like, Ariel. Be like, hey, I would like to get Ariel on this UFC program. So I would like you to call my one true relative, Ariel Helwani.
Yeah.
And it would be great.
Last week we did try to extend it to like, what if you could call anyone? You would probably call like Charles Bennett, right? If you could call anybody,
Crazy Horse. If I could call anyone, there'd be, oh goodness. I mean, I still would probably pick Ariel just because it would be the funniest to make them put Ariel on television. But I mean, if the whole world is open, think of the possibilities as far as somebody who would accept the call, because like,
oh, within reason. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, if they just like collect call a bunch of people who don't have any idea, I doubt, but I feel like Crazy Horse would pick up for anybody. Just be like, oh definitely. Yeah, sure, I'll take. Yeah. So
Felony. His name is Felony now.
Respect. Felony.
I'm just not, look, Casey, I'm not going to call the damn app X and I ain't going to call him Felony. Just ain't going to happen. He's Crazy Horse. Twitter. That's the world.
Felony is a, it's like an anagram for something. I cannot remember what. I swear. I remember he said it once, the MMA hour. Anyway, again, let's not go down that hole again. So the other thing with Brad Katona is he is fighting. Jay, I don't know if you caught this because they mentioned it several
times. Why was Felony not one of the prospects?
Because Felony is currently signed with Fight Circus.
Okay, that's right. That's right. He's making big money, Casey. He doesn't need this.
He's contractually, yeah.
He doesn't need this.
He's hanging out in Thailand and ruling. We're good.
Jay, I don't know if you caught it. They've mentioned it multiple times. Brad Katona fighting to become the illustrious first two-time Ultimate Fighter champion. No one's ever done it. He previously said the Ultimate Fighter, which I like. I think that'd be cool. The Ultimate Fighter. This is like the faintest praise you can give someone. This is like the worst thing you can call someone, right?
It's like winning Homecoming King twice.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's like I won.
So,
but
so
wait, I think how, so many, Jed, how many champions have come back on the show?
They've had a comeback. They've had comeback seasons.
With the champion, the winner, the winner of
the winner.
How many people have had the opportunity to be a first two-time winner?
So he's one.
I swear, there've been others. I struggle to remember. I mean, no one who won.
Who's won the show and then came back as a contestant again? Because there isn't anybody.
I should have had this prepared. I apologize. I think it has happened before. They've had obviously redemption seasons for guys who haven't won the show and come back
or some. Did Kendall Grove win?
No, Kendall Grove has not come back, and he did win the show. That's a good question.
I keep thinking, they keep saying this in the show, like, it was like, but that's not a thing that is, I don't know, it's not a thing. It's like,
it's not a thing until it becomes a thing, Casey.
Jed, are you a bachelor guy?
Oh, you know this.
Why do I ask? So last week, GC compared the terrible fight we saw, the terrible 15-minute plus commercial, so 20 over 20-minute long fight to like
if the Bachelor just
had a segment like of unedited awkward conversation between the Bachelor and like one of the candidates.
Oh, they do
like, literally.
Oh, they. But, like, one of those happens like once a season.
Sure,
it's on.
But imagine that extended. During,
it's the best.
20 minutes.
It was the best. There was one of them this season of The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Early on, she went on her one-on-one date with a dude, and it was absolutely incredible. They went to a theme park, like a small amusement park by themselves. And at some point, he's talking to the producer, like, amusement parks make me sleepy. And he's just like chilling, and she's trying to make a conversation. And he's like,
wait, what makes him sleepy?
Eating ice cream. Amusement park. I don't know. It was incredible. And when she's like, hey, this isn't going anywhere, I'm going to send you home, he's just like, all right, peace. And he hops in the van, and there's a producer trying to ask him questions in like his post exit. So like, how did it feel? What happened? He falls asleep while she's asking questions. It's incredible. So they have about one of those. No, those are the best episodes.
But it's hilarious.
Super awkward.
But they play up on the boredom. They play up on the boredom. This is
on a fighting show.
They're not. They're trying to make it feel exciting, which But then it's weird.
But then after you
watch this, then they bring Dana complaining about how these guys suck. When just the fight before that, he was like, "This fight was so." Oh God, we're talking about the last week again.
I didn't mean to do. I only brought it up because I want to extend the Bachelor comparison. Because being the two-time Ultimate Fighter would be like winning the Bachelor twice. It's like, it's clearly not a good thing. You shouldn't be winning the show twice.
And why are you?
And they really started driving it home. So incredibly awkward. I mean, I'll be happy for him if he does it.
I think it's kind of cool. Look, I'm not saying it's like awesome, but it is. It's unique.
Cool isn't
something.
It is unique. It's literally unique because no one's done it before. We have had two-time finalists. Diego Lima, brother of Bellator champion Douglas Lima, and a fine fighter in his own right, made the finals twice. Tough 19. Lost, and Tough 25, which was a redemption season. And then the guy he lost to, Jesse Taylor, technically qualified for two finals. Again, he beat Lima in the finals of Ultra Fighter 25 and was then immediately released after failing a USADA drug test. And he also qualified for the Tough 7 finals back in the day, but was not allowed to compete after going on a drunken rampage in Las Vegas before the finals and having a tearful talk with Dana White saying, yeah, you're not ready for this. Dana White would then sign him to fight like six months later anyway. But yeah, so those are your two people who have come closest to having the chance to win it twice. But I think, Casey, you might be right. I don't know if anyone's won.
Yeah, no champion has ever come back as a contestant.
Mr. Katona.
I mean,
it's rough.
Look,
it's a rough thing to be called.
I think it's fine. I do think that it is amusing, though, that there was a quote from him which I wrote down because it made me chuckle legitimately it's talking about his coach being like, he's a world-class coach. It's like a world-class driver driving a Ferrari. I'm the Ferrari. And I was like, my guy, you are a Hyundai at best. You are back on the Ultimate Fighter for a second time. You are not
but he shouldn't be. That's not his fault.
You are a Subaru, a reliable quality car.
I like Subarus.
You're not a Rari.
Yeah, perfectly exactly. Fine. What's car. Wrong with Subaru? Yeah, what's wrong with Subaru?
There's nothing wrong. I'm just saying, if you've ever driven a Ferrari and you drive a Subaru, their world's different. It's just not the same.
He went Ferrari. He went too big. He should have said, maybe I'm like a used Camaro. You know, like from a distance, you know, like.
No.
a low-end Mercedes?
Yeah.
Like, would have been, like, that would be something I could accept.
Four-year lease, yeah.
By the way, they better sign Timur as well. He better get a
contract. They're definitely going to sign him.
He doesn't have to win the show. I would hope so.
I don't even know why they actually fired him. I genuinely don't understand why Timur Valiyev got cut. He lost to Jack Shore in London. He's Jack Shore.
Yeah.
Like, he's a very popular, good fighter, and that's it. Like, I at least can see Brad Katona didn't, like, super impress during his run, right? You know, like, he lost back-to-back fights. yeah, one of them was Merab, but you lose two in a row. Sometimes you get cut. I can get that. I genuinely don't understand why Teemer lost. I had him picked as my favorite to win the season.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually scored the fight for him too. I scored the fight for Teemer, but I understand.
Yeah, I don't know if you scored.
Fine.
Did you score the fight? I went 1-2 Teemer. So I had a Teemer. Yeah, I had a Teemer win, but I could see 1-3 for Katona, I guess, right? I mean,
I did not spend a ton of time like actually scoring it. I sort of thought loosely that 1-3 went to Katona, but I thought it was one of those fights where I think Brad Katona should have won. And then he tried real hard not to win for big stretches of it and ended up pulling it out. Like, I thought he just looked like a much better fighter when he would commit to being a better fighter. And then a lot of the time he just sort of was really hesitant and it almost cost him.
Jed, I'm sorry. We've gone this long without even talking about the stars of the show, really. Mr. Conor McGregor and your favorite fighter, the Michael Chandler. Let's talk about McGregor and Chandler first. Were you disappointed at all this week, Jed, to not see any? Because this is one thing we cover every week. It was supposed to be something that happened every week. What did McGregor and Chandler do? In this case, it was nothing. I think there was zero interaction between the coaches this week. Were you disappointed? Did you want to see them mix it up a little bit?
No. I don't care. Mm-hmm. They're not going to fight. Mm-hmm. So why would I
care? Whoa. Whoa.
Not, oh,
whoa.
I'm sorry.
Whoa. Spoiler.
Whoa.
Spoiler.
Let's jump ahead here a little bit then. So, well, first of all, we had this discussion on a little bit. Oh, actually, see, quite a bit on the MMA Fighting's Rankings podcast, which, Jed, feels like it was just yesterday. I swear that we recorded that.
It does.
That is out of the network right now. So I don't want to make you rehash all that. But that's the other thing we do every week is we do a little confidence check in the Chandler matchup. It's been trending down.
I have a lot
down.
Of confidence.
It's been trending down.
I have a lot of confidence like zero. That it's not happening.
Uh-huh. It sounds like you're at a zero for this matchup.
Five. Yeah. I'll give it a 5%.
Oh, that's
in case,
generous.
In case 5%. You haven't been paying attention.
I was like, 5 out of 10. I'm like, it's pretty high.
No, 5%.
Oh, okay. 5 out of 100. Okay.
In case you find viewers of Tough miss 291 in the aftermath, because it has since been deleted by Conor McGregor, because
of course.
If that man loves anything more than, you know, not even going to say it, man loves to delete tweets. I'm the real BMF. He can fight for pennies if he wants, but I want spirits. I call the shots. I'm in it to launch shots. F Chandler, though he doesn't say F, you want it, call for it. I believe that Conor McGregor made his intentions about fighting Michael Chandler extremely plain there. F Chandler, I will fight you instead, Justin Gaethje.
Conor says so many things, though. I'm still a believer. Casey, has your belief been shaken at all?
I've been this fight ain't happening since like episode one.
This is true.
Yeah. This is
so you're less than 5% now.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, 5%, -5%. Yeah.
Oh, I'm still holding out hope.
Chandler's the biggest loser of the season.
It's tough, which is weird because he dominated the competition. Like, he dominated the competition. He's at least, like I said, he's got his own.
He didn't even dominate the competition. Like, Chandler picked the teams and, like, they didn't do anything. They just went, Dana went, here, these are your guys. Like, okay.
Look, I don't I have not watched anything, so again, could be entirely wrong. I suspect, based on the limited viewing I got in this episode, that Michael Chandler didn't spend legitimate, valuable training time talking about how balance is life, and then working hook kicks, but not even really.
Well,
like, you got to flex the leg.
Yes.
Or maybe let's teach some of these prospects, quote unquote, like how to work behind a jab. That might be a more relevant piece of information to have than balancing and just flexing your leg. And it admittedly, like, that will burn after a while. Your hip flexors get turned there, but I don't know, man. Feels like you're maybe not using limited time expertly.
Jed, were you this falls to our what did Conor do this week category. You were not dazzled by the little very subtle McGregor commercial fast ad that we had to open the show that didn't impress you?
There was a talking about
fast? I mean, he was wearing
it on the stuff.
Yeah, he's wearing
I assume that everything Conor is doing is he's covered in fast and forged black.
No, yes. It's different stuff every week. So last week he went to the house.
August McGregor.
That has not been advertised yet. I think they're saving that for 11 or 12. That'll probably be on the ice baths next week. Oh, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but we'll get to that in a second. Last week, Casey, what was it? What was
the
it?
Stew, right?
Stew. It was they made a stew and he just poured forged Irish whatever stout into it.
We're talking more about last week again.
That probably goes poorly.
Well, Jason Knight said, man, this tastes a lot like beer. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it'll do that to it. I'm not a good cook. I'm not a great cook, but I think if you pour that much beer into a stew.
But real quick, but they set up that episode by doing that. But also all the winning, not half the fighters, but there were a bunch of fighters in there that were still weight cutting and having the fight. And they were just like, I can't have any.
Why are you doing this?
The losing fighters who are all on Connor's team, like, hey, this is great, Connor. This is the best thing ever. Yeah. It was just horrible.
But yeah, they've been doing shots of proper. They've been drinking that stout, and now a couple of McGregor fastings. Yeah. So Connor has gotten a lot out of this, I think.
Why do you think he agreed to do this?
I know. I don't know. How did you feel about him not even really cornering? Did you notice that he's not really cornering on the show? He just kind of stands at the side and like shouts and in a suit.
I think it's fine because I don't believe that Connor McGregor is I think he will be a bad coach if he does make that transition.
You can see the everything episodes,
It's based on everything I've seen, like particularly a tactical in-fight coach. I did actually think the things that he kept yelling to Brad was correct. Gattuno really needed to sit down on his rear hand shots and just go for those a lot. And instead he was super tentative and that let Valiev kick the crap out of him and arguably win the fight. But Connor has always struck me as a dude who he knows what works for him and believes that that is just the only way to do things. And that's not a productive way to coach a fighter who doesn't have his same skill set like Brad Gattuno. Yeah. So,
not to put him on this level, but like, that's like the Michael Jordan mentality where like, I don't understand why can't everyone just do it the way I do it? And it's like, well, you know, you're Michael Jordan. This person's not Michael Jordan. Conor McGregor. This person's not Conor McGregor. Casey, one more note. I forgot about the fight. I think, was it Chandler that shouted like, be a dog. You got to be a dog to Timur before the round three. Do we add that to the curse, the animal curse? Jan, if you're not aware, the previous episodes, every time they showed someone owning a dog, that fighter lost. It went.
Michael Chandler definitely said that a lot.
Be a dog.
Being an animal, be a beast.
Yeah. And like, so I think this counts as part of the curse.
Animal imagery.
Yeah. Literally not one fighter who showed a pet went on to win.
Kurt Hollibaugh, who has seven dogs.
Was it Hollibaugh
that has seven dogs?
Was it Hollibaugh? It was Hollibaugh. Yeah. Cause I wanted to hang out with him. Yeah. Oh, and that's when we knew it was the jersey. Right. So we did say it's just the Team McGregor jersey,
If you have more than six dogs, you do win. Under six dogs.
That was the other match. At some point, again, it goes up your chance of losing, and then you add more dogs, and then it goes down.
There's a critical mass of canine that gets you.
Okay. And once you get over it, you're fine. But it's a big commitment. You got to have a lot of dogs. Speaking of Kurt Hollibaugh, guys, next week, Kurt Hollibaugh faces Jason Knight in the second semifinal for the right to face Austin Hubbard and become a UFC fighter. Live their dream, guys, of becoming a UFC fighter, finally. And also, we get the coach's challenge, as you guys said, which looks terrible. It looks like it is a trivia contest in a ice bath.
You think that looks terrible? I think that looks incredible. I think that may be the best coach's challenge I've seen. I mean, it's the first one I've seen in a long time.
This isn't saying much.
Like, it's way better than making them do a sport against one another. I mean, that would also be funny because I think both of them are low-key not that athletic. So if you made them do like an entirely foreign sport to them, they would probably suck at it, which would be some sort of amusing. There is a 0% chance either of those dudes are deeply steeped in the history of the UFC. They are going to suck at this so hard. That's why in the previews, it's a multiple choice thing. It's not like, hey, who's the first dude who Brock Lesnar beat in the UFC?
Keith Haring.
I don't need a fucking multiple choice. They're going to give them three choices and they're going to brick it because they don't care about the sport in that way. I think it's a great idea, honestly.
And they're sitting in water.
Yeah. In an ice pack. It's going to be great. They're going to have to ask them the most like plain English trivia question.
What does the U in UFC stand for?
Yeah, it's
multiple
it's
choice.
It's gonna be
Heath. No, someone should ask. Terrific. Someone should ask Connor what the F stands for, because he hasn't been doing much of that lately. If you know what I mean. I'm just saying. He was injured. Wow. He was injured.
Wow.
Well, I went there. Why couldn't they have done pickleball? Why didn't they, like, isn't pickleball the hot sport right now? They couldn't have done pickleball.
I mean, it is the hot sport right now.
How did they not think to
actually require athleticism, so they could probably do it. No, I think the trivia is way funnier. It's way funnier.
All right, let's end with some YouTube comments. I should have been doing this all season. I don't know why. I just thought to do the YouTube comments here. We've mentioned a few here and there, but I want to read some of the best ones. Casey, last week, you, Connor, and I questioned, how come they never show Chandler visiting the house? We get a lot of McGregor visiting the house. Max Payne, BFTUT, said the Chandler visit was edited out. It was on the After Tough show on UFC's YouTube. Not that anybody watches that, but thank you for letting us know. At JBRTs98 says, I need that soup recipe, talking about last week. So far, I got 3 liters of Black Forge Irish Stout and potatoes. I think that's all you need.
3 liters? 3 liters.
I think he's doing it right. I think that's how they did it on the show. So This was last week. I hope this guy's okay. And this will send us off, because I want to ask a question before we sign off here. At SeldomSeen3835 just says, this has to be the last Ever Tough. I don't think it is, but I will ask both of you. Jed, I'll start with you. I will start with you. What would it take to get you back to watch another season? Not even the whole thing. To watch casually, like a handful of episodes and being, you know, tune in every now and
then. I will probably never watch a season where I have to watch the parts of the show. I will watch any season just for the fights that is relevant to the sport in a meaningful capacity. If they introduce a women's atom weight class by doing it in a tough thing, I'll watch all of those fights and I'll watch the tournament through that structure. If they did it for featherweight, even though I think they've tried to do that and then all the women just went to bantamweight immediately, which is hilarious. If they do something like that, if they are introducing a new weight class so it is meaningful, or if the UFC, and this would be the way it would really get me, and it would make me, I'd be all in. The UFC buys Bellator and says to the Bellator fighters, you have to go through tough. We are doing a tough. We are putting all of you into it. And that's how you will make your way into the UFC. I would watch it because it would be incredibly funny to watch Johnny Eblen just be like, this is garbage. You're going to make me learn how to fist fight from Sean Strickland. I would kick the crap out of that man. I would watch that as well. But other than that, if it's not a weight class for a belt or something like that, I'm just not going to care.
The Ultimate Fighter 32 Fightmaster. That's what I want.
If they make exclusively a season of Glory kickboxers, because apparently that is the strongest fighting style, I guess I'd watch that as well, because all those dudes are future champions. But other than that, yeah, I'm just whatever.
Yeah, a gimmick would be nice. A gimmick beyond fake prospects versus veterans.
It has to be an interesting gimmick, not a gimmick that I do not care about. Not a gimmick that I could see on Explode Fight Series.
Or a gimmick that honestly, frankly, just doesn't make sense. Casey, what's bringing you back? I mean, besides the fact that obviously we're going to do this every season from now on, we're obviously tough hang is for life now. But what's going to bring you back?
I don't care if they're good roommates or not. Like the whole living together and being secluded. I think that's just done. Maybe throw some chaos in that. I mean. In terms of pure entertainment, I'm talking just the internet. I'm not actually talking fighting. I'm talking just entertainment. Throw some chaos in that house. I don't know. Put a couple of snakes in there. There just needs to be some chaos to. I'm talking sport. I'm talking entertainment, and that's the issue. The show is just boring. It's just boring. That's what it is. And make it entertaining. I don't know.
Jed looks giddy.
I've got it. I've figured it out. You got to do the Ultimate Bachelor. And so you're going to blend the Bachelor and the Ultimate Fighter together. Okay. And so, yes, the Bachelorette, you know, gets to, hey, here are these 30 dudes. They're all lightweights. In the end, I'm going to marry one of them. But she also has agency because she's a person and gets to choose her partner. So instead of here are the roses, the people who don't get roses go home, They all fight, but the people that she would give roses get an advantage in the fight. Like, hey, this guy could only fight with one arm because she didn't give you a rose. And then you have to show how much you care about the Bachelorette by overcoming the adversity that is placed in front of you. That would be a gimmick I would tune in just to see what is happening.
I thought you were going to say like the they do like everyone gets roses except for like four fighters every week, and then those four fighters have you know get matched up, and then the winners of those fights get to stay on or something. Yeah,
that's a little lamer.
But then it was the same guys.
In the end, you're going to get those same dudes just fighting each other.
You're going to stay on again.
One thing I would like to get rid of completely, and if we reformat the show a bit, is get rid of teams. The teams thing is just stupid because they're not teams, because the teams end up just fighting each other. So it's just get rid of teams and just have a bunch of people there. Did they have teams? Was it always teams even from season one?
It has always been teams, yeah.
But the entire construct was to get you to care about these fighters through the stars that the company already has.
But the idea of teams, I just never liked. I just don't.
You know, Casey, I think you're onto something. What we could actually do is when we're getting rid of teams, we can also get rid of just doing like specific weight classes, and there's probably too many fights. So maybe we could just do 5 fights across all weight classes, and they could just do that once a week. And the winners of those fights get to go into the UFC, and we invented the Contender Series. It's a vastly superior product, and that's just what we should be doing.
Yeah, it's...
This is it. That's just it. This product is outmoded by Contender Series.
Yeah, basically just Dana is Dana. Get rid of the stupid house, get rid of the teams, and just have fights.
Just
a little backstory, cool, whatever.
It sounds like you guys are saying get rid of the Ultimate Fighter. Let's settle down. It almost sounds like you're saying get rid of the Ultimate Fighter, and I know that's not what you're saying. I know that's not what you're saying.
Here's what I am saying. This episode made a strong case for getting rid of it. To tie it back into the episode we watched, makes a strong case because... Functionally, the moment he was allowed to stop training with a stranger and go back to training with his coach, that's exactly what happened here. And not only is it exactly what happened for Brad Katona, everybody was in universal agreement that it was the correct move. Michael Chandler was like, I think it's going to be better if
no
he goes
drama.
And works with his actual coach instead of me, which is saying it's saying the big secret out loud. Yeah. Actually, the best way to get the best out of these fighters is not to lump them in a house together and have a stranger teach them. It's to just let them work with the people they work with and prepare in the way that they normally would. That's how you're going to get their best performance. Oh, we shouldn't be doing this at all. That is the very logical step after that to take. And they just said it in this episode. And like, it's going to live on as long as Dana's in charge because he has an affinity for it. And frankly, at this point, I think it's just stubbornness because everybody tells him that this product sucks and they hate it. And so he's just going to keep doing it because F you, I can do what I want. And as soon as Dana retires, I guarantee you, as soon as Dana is gone, one of the first things that happens is Tough is no more. It's like when the UFC fired all the lifetime fake roles when they got acquired because Dana's no longer calling the shots. As soon as he's out, Tough is gone.
Oh, real quick. One thing I freaking hate about the show and hate about in the sense that it just shows that Dana, they don't care about the show, is that they have Dana for multiple, I think 3 straight weeks, he's worn that same t-shirt to do his
basketball, the Hasbulla shirt.
So he's wearing the same shirt for a fight that supposedly happened 2 weeks ago, which basically just means he just came in at the end of the season and he just got fed lines to say about fights. That's all.
Well, I did think they also filmed, I would guess they filmed at least 2 semifinal fights a day, if not all of them.
Change your shirt. It's TV. No. You're supposed to, it's delusion. They don't, because like in the show, they did that last week too, when Roosevelt Roberts walked back to the locker room, you could see the next fight warming up in the actual locker room. So like, oh, wait, these are shot the same day. These aren't weeks apart, like they say in the show. Just crap like that. Just like, I don't know. It's just,
that doesn't bother me. But
it's
just how it, that's just reality television. They feed you lines and you say it.
No, I know that, but it's bad TV. Like, change.
We want to be
outfit,
fooled,
you know?
Jeff, you want to be fooled. Fool us. We know everything is fake. Fool us.
I've worked in TV, like live TV. Yeah. Like you shoot something today that's going to be part of a live show next week, but you change your outfit. So it looks like it's one continuous thing, not like,
And it's just like this show, Jed, where it seems like we were just watching along with everyone who's watching along with us now. But I mean, obviously, we recorded this hours ago. I mean,
maybe Dana just owns like 30 Hasbro shirts.
Just finished watching the show.
That's a strong possibility.
If anyone watches this network, you're going to see me wearing the exact same shirt because I have 12 of the exact same shirt. Because one day
We just film all the shows in one day.
I was just like, what if I just buy the exact shirt that I like? I really like this shirt. I'm going to buy 12 of it. And then I never have to pick a shirt again because it's the next one up on top of the dresser. Maybe Dana's just that way with Hasbro.
Well, Jed, thank you and your infamous shirt for joining us on this week's Tough Hang. Casey, 2 weeks left, buddy. 2 weeks left, and we are free. We are free on Ultimate Fighter 31. But it has been a pleasure. Weeks?
Are there
two more episodes? Oh, yeah, 11.
Because they're doing two weight classes.
Yeah, so. And that's why if I'm not crazy, I swear the show is not always 12 episodes long because I feel like they used to do two semifinal fights in one episode. If I'm wrong, people, please let me know in the comments. But I know for a fact they did used to do two semifinal.
Just gonna let you know. You are the tough historian.
No, there's people watching. I know, but I probably watch too much. There's probably people who've been a little more selective and can remember better than me. My brain is mush at this point. But I do thank everyone who keeps tuning in. Again, thank you, Jed. Thank you, producer Casey, for sticking with me for another week. Two more weeks. GC will be back, I'm pretty sure, next week. I will also be back. But this has been another sterling, optimistic episode of Tough Hang. See you guys.
Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code Vox MMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.